This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:21 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run with Mel, Han and Joyce. Now, yesterday, Chinese markets came back online after a one-week break, and that was a massive sell-off from Chinese equities. Right now, we've just before Chinese markets begin trade for the day, let's check in with Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist with U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Good morning, Joe. Yesterday, we had foreign investors dumping $1.4 billion U.S. dollars worth of A-shares. Now, were you part of the exodus?
No. We're more of long-term focused on China. We think there's some more downside, but the cheaper China becomes, the more interest we're going to have to buy some of these great companies that over the next 5 to 10 years, I think, have a good upside.
So do you think this sell-off is transitory then? Because, Joe, looking at Asian futures this morning, it's going to go lower as well. And that's not just in China. It's in Australia, Japan, Hong Kong as well. So does the buying opportunity present itself beyond China, across Asia, you think?
I think it does, but I think investors have to be very careful here with the 10-year yield in the United States clearly breaking above 3%, moving much higher than expected. So that's going to add some volatility, but rising rates in the United States is more about the strength of the U.S. economy. There's not much inflationary expectations just yet. So, you know, I think globally, you know, we're looking at normalization of U.S. interest rates, and that's going to be problem for any markets in the world, including the U.S., as we go deeper into Q4.
So, Joe, beyond those rising interest rates that you mentioned, of course, there are these concerns over the U.S.-China trade war that's being cited for the sell-off. So beyond these two, again, rising interest rates and U.S.-China trade war, are there perhaps other drivers that we need to be talking about here when it comes to seeing how markets have been performing across Asia?
Well, keep a close eye on oil prices. That's going to be very important for a region like Asia, Malaysia, whether it's exporter, importers. You know, India's taking it on the chin right now because it's a, you know, current account deficit is expanding as the oil import bill goes up. So Venezuela, Iraq, Iran, Libya, that could be a wild card. And then the stronger dollar, the dollar strength, you know, they're generally upward. So I think there's some key macro variables that are going to keep the markets, you know, volatile, but we still think they're going to grind higher, not only here in the United States, but overseas as well by the end of the year.
Joe, what's your outlook on oil prices?
Oil prices, I mean, our analysts are looking for that, you know, $75 to $85 range. I don't think it goes to 100 if it touches $100 per barrel. That in itself creates its own problems that will reduce demand, increase production. So I think we're in that $75 to $85 range for now.
Okay. Well, over the weekend, the PBOC cut the required reserve ratio for the fourth time this year. Apparently, that wasn't enough to calm investors. So as a global investor, Joe, what kind of policies would you like to see to come out of China before you actually jump into that?
Well, I mean, the policy I'd like to see best, but I don't see it coming, is just a kind of a long-term truce between the United States and China when it comes to trade. But I think this is the beginning of a Cold War in trade between the United States and China. That's going to carry on for quite some time. So having said that, I do think, you know, credit conditions are going to get easier in China for corporations, for households. I think there'll be more infrastructure spending. And I don't think, you know, the currency could weaken here, but I don't think China wants to go down that route that creates its own problems. But China has that, you know, whatever it takes mentality. They have the cash. They have the international reserves. Their debt's denominated locally. So they have the wherewithal to prime the pump.
Mm. Well, if we could perhaps shift the focus back to the U.S., Joe. Now, the Treasury has about $230 billion worth of debt auctions this week. And given that we've been seeing higher yields in recent weeks, how do you think this will feed into demand for debt sales in the coming days?
I think there'll be healthy demand for U.S. debt at these interest rate levels, not only domestically, but globally. Remember, in the United States, you know, we're looking at, you know, 10-year yields, 3% plus. We're looking at real yields as well when you subtract, so the inflation. And that's the only really place in the world where you're getting good real returns. So that in itself, I think, continues to draw in capital from China, developing Asia. Remember, when oil prices where they are, the oil exporters have a lot of petrodollars to recycle, so I think they'll be in the markets as well.
But what do the higher Treasury yields mean for your outlook for U.S. equities?
Right now we're still favorable towards equities, the large cap, small cap, kind of a barbell strategy. If we get a backup in yields to 3.5% on a 10-year, then, our models suggest that equities start to struggle. But remember why interest rates are backing up as fast as they are, because the economy is stronger than expected. Good employment number, hawkish Fed, good earnings outlook, for not only Q3 but Q4. And as long as that stays in place with inflation moderating or remaining moderate, that's key. Mm. We've seen that. I think it's still upside for equities here.
Well, okay, help me put some nuance to that then, Joe, because on one hand, you've got those rising Treasury yields. And then on the other hand, you say they've still got another leg up, not just for U.S. equities, but also global equities as well. So which one do you think has got more legs there, the rising Treasury yields or U.S. stocks? Because traditionally, at least we've been led to believe, rising U.S. yields is a challenge for U.S. stocks, right? So which one has more legs here?
Well, it depends on your horizon. Yes. The backup in yields can be challenging for equities. But I think that's down the road. I think that's a story for 2019 if we're correct about the strength of the economy continuing into 2019. I think the best place to put money right now, the U.S. outperformance, the richness of the market, it's really overseas, whether it's Malaysia, whether it's e-commerce in China, not necessarily India because they've got some problems with the current account deficit. But we see some opportunities, kind of European banks. We think they're oversold here. Could be some opportunities there. That's a good question. Like if we get to 3.5% on a 10-year Treasury yield, you're going to see more of a push into fixed income and out of equities, no doubt. But we're not there yet.
Joe, rising Treasury yields along with the stronger dollar, such conditions may set the world up for a liquidity crunch. And that was a key feature in the last global financial crisis 10 years ago. So do you foresee a liquidity crunch that could potentially lead to the next crisis?
I mean, not necessarily, because I think the Fed has always focused first and foremost on the United States. But in times of crisis, they've always, we've done a lot with other central banks, coordination. We've dollar swaps with Europe 10 years ago, helped save Europe. And the key is in the emerging markets, the international reserve levels, they have some ammunition. The Asian financial crisis, a lot of these countries were in deficit. Their international reserves were very shallow and not very large. Now it's just the opposite. A lot of countries, Malaysia included, have saved for this day when they need the liquidity. So I wouldn't disagree with you that there's global tightening credit conditions could create a lot of volatility. There's no doubt about that in down weeks. And I think that's just something that investors are going to have to get used to. We're moving out of that secular stagnation. We're normalizing interest rates in the United States. We're looking at a different investment environment in 2019 and 2020. And you've got to be more balanced and mixed about equities and fixed income and other assets, no doubt.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us this morning. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Now, after this, we're going to be taking a look at further details from the termination of the MRT2 underground contract. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.